Welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on this Thursday morning, and it's been a busy start to the day. Of course, we've been revisiting and talking about the tragic murder that took place yesterday. And Charlie Kirk, a well-known political commentator, a political figure, and one that was senselessly murdered at an event at a university in the state of Utah. So we continue to follow that. And that, of course, has been a big part of our conversation. I want to shift gears. We every month, we have the pleasure of holding a conversation with both of the mayors from the two large cities in this province, that being Mayor Cynthia Block from the city of Saskatoon, Mayor Chad Bieszynski from the city of Regina. And really, I love and welcome this opportunity because, as I've said to both mayors, often what we hear from our mayors is an eight-second soundbite in a news story. And that's just the nature of the way in which we consume news. But in a program like this, we have the ability to pull things out a little bit more and hear explanations and understand why decisions are made a certain way. And so having both mayors who are very busy, and I recognize that, give us an hour out of their schedule on a monthly basis is appreciated. So with that, joining us today by phone from her office in Saskatoon, Saskatoon Mayor Cynthia Block. Mayor Block, thank you for being here today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Mayor of Regina, Mayor Chad Bieszynski, is joining me in studio. Mayor, thanks for your attendance.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So maybe, Mayor Bieszynski, I'll start with you, because just yesterday we're hearing more about what is being deemed a new transparent budget process for next year. How is this going to work and how is this going to be different?
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, a lot of us on council were you know, kind of thrown into the last budget cycle. And so this is something that really came out of that when we kind of saw how that process was executed. We all, I think, felt the need to revise that process. So what we're doing now is the work that used to happen behind the scenes with administration, you know, kind of making decisions and trying to maybe guess at what council and the public maybe is looking for in terms of service levels. Basically, we're getting that starting point right now in September, as opposed to just deliberating in a week in December. So we know, for one, we have the information early. We're giving it to everybody. Council, the public, sees where we're at for a starting forecast. And then we go on that journey together of asking questions, you know, understanding the information, understanding the service levels, understanding our funding capabilities. And then we can ask questions, get more information, have more time to look at that information over the next number of months, as opposed to, you know, a number of days, before we actually deliberate the budget in December. So there's already a lot of questions that have come up where administration is going to take that back, get information for council, and we'll be much better prepared to have those conversations in December.
Is there a worry, Mayor, that it bogs the process down more when you get, of course, there will be interest in certain items and priorities that certain people and residents of the community will have. So transparency is always a good thing. But when you bring it into a process like budgeting, is there a fear there?
You know what? This is the first time we're doing it. So I'm sure there'll be some lessons learned in terms of the process. But I think that the importance of that transparency outweighs, you know, maybe some of the time or the barriers that might happen from that. So I think it's important. And I do think that we're going to see a better outcome. And I think we're going to see a better debate, to be honest. I think we're going to see a debate that's focused more on the math and the actual service levels that we need to decide on, and not talk about why something was brought forward or not, because we're all going on the journey together.
The forecast for the rate increase, the mill rate increase, not great in Regina. It actually looks quite significant, and that's not including REAL's ask or the police budget yet. Are you concerned about this and what that might mean for tax base and taxpayers in the city?
Yeah, I want to be clear. I'm not happy where, you know, our starting point is, for sure. I mean, when we talk about growth should enable us to have a sustainable, you know, sustainable financial outlook for the city. So, you know, that's another reason why I'm excited about this process, because we have more time to dig into those things and it's important. So, yeah, it's not the starting point that we want, but, you know, remember that this has not been shared before. Like, this is a new process where that initial number where administration has that initial forecast of that gap, that's not something that was made public before. We're making that public now, so we have a starting point and we know where we're, you know, moving funds around, or, you know, looking for revenue sources or cuts if we need to try and get that to a more tangible level.
Do you have a number in mind that you'd like to see for next year?
Not exactly. I know where we're at now is not right, but I'm trying to understand.
Where are we at? Are we at 13%?
The gap that's the forecast is at 13.5%. That's the gap that's saying if we are to maintain or to keep the levels of all the services across the entire city, that's 60 plus services, that's where we're at. So we need to decide as a council, do we have other ways to fund that gap? Or do we need to make adjustments to what is a priority to make sure we maintain certain service levels and adjust other service levels down to make up for that gap? And that's the decision we have to make.
Mayor Chad Baczynski, City of Regina Mayor, is one of two guests. Mayor Cynthia Block also joining me, the mayor of Saskatoon. Where are things at and what are things looking like for next year budget-wise for you, Mayor?
Well, to Mayor Baczynski's points, like these are struggles for municipalities right across the country, and we are a part of an advocacy network to change the way that municipalities are funded. It was literally created in the horse and buggy days. And what ends up happening is that when the economy does well, the coffers of both the provincial and federal governments expand, but those resources are not necessarily shared to a city that is trying to manage property tax, where growth ends up costing more. And the other, I think, really big piece of this is that, you know, inflation, we all know that that hits us at home. And the inflation that has been happening to municipalities far surpasses the consumer price index. And, you know, how to manage that and to manage expectations of the residents, it's really quite frustrating, to be honest, because for many, many years, our city has been working to do more with less. And we report on this publicly every year, millions of dollars of how we are reducing the overall cost per capita over the past decade. And, you know, that doesn't feel good, however, if your actual property tax goes up. And, you know, at some point when you're doing more with less, eventually you need to do less with less. And what does that look like when you are a service provider? Like, it's one thing to say, you know, you can cut out the extras. But what are those if you've been reducing and reducing and reducing over time? Right now, Saskatoon's projection is over 9%, and fully 3 to 4% of that is because of our police budget. And so that is a big factor in how we are considering things going forward. And that police budget is, you know, primarily because of an arbitration decision that has caused that increase. And, you know, again, inflation is also affecting all of our services.
Mayor Cynthia Block is my guest. You had a council discussion yesterday on the policies or the bylaw around flying flags at City Hall. I know this was actually something that was debated and dealt with in Regina earlier this year. Can you talk about why that discussion was important and where you've landed, Mayor?
Yeah, so the committee of council that met yesterday decided that we will no longer be flying flags of other countries after the ones that have been, I think there's two that have been approved for the next month. And so from here on in, that is not going to happen anymore. And it's unfortunate for a lot of reasons, but also understandable. The one piece that I have always, you know, questioned, as you know, we get people that come into council not just for sending in letters for proclamations and flag raisings, but you know, also to ask our council to weigh in on issues that matter to residents, but they are national or international in nature, and trying to figure out where the municipality stays in its lane. And increasingly with geopolitical turmoil, I think it is wise to be careful that we are not putting our city in a situation where we are getting involved in international discourse in a way that hurts the overall way that our city is working together to have peace and harmony and create a place where everyone belongs.
Mayor Cynthia Block is talking about what Saskatoon is leaning into, but Regina's had the experience of doing this now for, what, 7 months, Mayor Baczynski?
Yeah.
Have you, what has the feedback been since the decision was made that you would not be flying international countries' flags in front of City Hall?
Yeah, the feedback has really been, you know, an understanding. I think, and to Mayor Block's point, municipalities not getting involved in the geopolitical climate that we see today. You know, I think people are proud. They're proud of their heritage and their history, and we celebrate that in different ways. But, you know, this is just one way to make sure that we don't put ourselves in that position or we get involved in those issues.
Okay, we're going to take our first break. We have both Regina and Saskatoon's mayors joining us right until 11 o'clock. The text lines are open for you, 1-877-332-8255. If you have a question, feel free to text in, and we will do our best to get the majority of your questions on the show. One that has already popped up a number of times after the break, Mayor Block, I'd like to talk about the motion that's going forward about public events bylaws. We know recently there was an event, a performer who was in Saskatoon who many would deem as controversial. There was a protest that they didn't want this performer to be there. Ultimately, the night went off without any issues. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what you're asking of admin to bring forward in terms of a report and what you would like to accomplish. So we'll chat with Mayor Block about that when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. As we speak, Prime Minister Mark Carney is making announcements on major projects that will be the initial priority for the Liberal government going into the fall sitting. Our newsroom is following this just after 11 o'clock. We will bring you the highlights of that, and some of our news team will join us to talk a bit about that. We are continuing on now with two mayors who are joining us, Mayor Cynthia Block from the city of Saskatoon, Mayor Chad Bashinsky from the city of Regina. So, Mayor Block, it wasn't that long ago that there was a what some people called a controversial performer who was set and booked and actually attended to and performed in Saskatoon. It ended up being really no problem. I know police were standing by. There was some counter protesters there to this event. But since then, I've seen you talking on different news interviews and through social media about the need for a review of public events and how public spaces are used in Saskatoon. Can you talk about your intent there, Mayor?
Yeah, so I think I want to be really clear that the motion isn't about restricting free speech or banning events. That is foundational to the democracy we live in, and the right to free speech must be upheld. And I would probably say further to that, that in a world where the rule of law is under attack, I think it's even more important that we adhere to those principles. But this particular performer has in other places in the world, actually, namely the United States, said some things that I think are very clearly hate speech. And the fear was real in this community. And I think that we need to acknowledge the pain of the folks that felt that they were under attack, and at the same time recognize that we live in a society where we're trying really hard to make people feel seen and feel valued and make Saskatoon and our province a place where everyone feels that they belong. And so the review is really, you know, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, it hasn't been reviewed since the 90s. And I am aware of other jurisdictions as part of their refusal to grant a permit or to revoke a permit for this performer had identified public policy inside their permitting process that more aligned with their official community plan, with their strategic plan, with their partnerships and declarations and all of the things. And so what I hope happens is that we get a report back that you know, updates and modernizes the language in our permitting policy, and also just looks really carefully at how we are aligning that policy in a way that best represents the residents of our city inside the law. So I'll just underscore that piece.
Will there be public interaction on this? Because I know there's lots, as you and I are chatting here, a number of texts are coming in on this topic with some fairly emotion-filled views on it. And some people will point to different events that are held that maybe don't reflect the views of certain types. And you know, I mean, this really can become a culture war. It can become a political battle. So will you be getting public input on this? Kind of what do you see this process rolling out like?
It will be part of our regular process. And the public will, as always, be able to represent if they choose. But it's not like it'll be just the same as any process that we would undertake. I would say that, to your point about the culture wars or the division that this creates, you know, I think that that the one thing that we know for sure happened during this process is we allowed this performer to get a lot more followers and attendees at their concert. And, you know, if the point of some folks is that we, you know, they didn't want that, I mean, that was unfortunate. But I will say one thing as well, that our Saskatoon Police Service did just an outstanding job of making sure that concert was safe for everyone, with gates around the actual performance area, and also a special space for protesters. And to a large extent, I think that I was just really impressed with the way that everyone did their best to make it through that situation in a way that kept everyone safe.
We're chatting today with both mayors of both Saskatoon and Regina, Mayor Cynthia Block from Saskatoon, Chad Bashinsky from Regina. Mayor Block, I want to stay with you for a second yet, because I got a letter, and this letter coincides with a number of texts that I got from people who either live in or close to Caswell Hill, and concern about the location of the homeless shelter there. This lady who writes this letter, her name is Glenda. She calls herself a very concerned mom and grandma, and really lays out her concerns in this letter. I won't read the whole thing, but she talks about the proximity to the Harry Bailey swimming pool. 8-minute walk from an elementary school in Caswell Hill, a close walk to Ashworth Homes Park and its playground, close walk to the Mayfair swimming pool. Have you heard concerns from people in Caswell Hill about this new shelter, and what's your response to that?
So anytime there is talk of a new homeless shelter, or actually any government-funded housing, there's often concerns. And so I understand why this person is asking those questions. And I will say that the Caswell Community Association has laid out a whole list of ways that they think can improve the safety of the area and improve safety for people who are unhoused and the community at large. And I was, you know, reviewing them about lighting and cameras and, you know, better communication and a go-to person between the community and, say, Saskatoon Police or Saskatoon Fire, or how can they, you know, keep this in a way that is going to build confidence that this is a solution that works for everyone. We have a homeless crisis in our city, and just so folks know, I mean, this is a provincial government shelter. And the province and the city of Saskatoon work together on a location. And, you know, the province has its criteria and the city has its own. And our criteria would be, you know, zoning would probably be number one. But council has also created a series of check marks to make sure that it is, you know, a certain distance away from elementary schools and things like that, to try to make the process as smooth as possible for communities.
Okay, we're up against our next break. Mayor Cynthia Block, Mayor Chad Bashinsky, my guests. So when we come back after the break, Mayor Bashinsky, coming back to you. Is the city of Regina seriously considering appointing or designating a sanctioned tent encampment location in the city of Regina? We will get into that conversation with Mayor Bashinsky. And more of your questions, thank you for your texts on the text line, 1-877-332-8255. As many as we can get to when we come back with our mayors here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I don't know if you caught that if his microphone was on, but Mayor Bashinsky was actually just singing along with Starship there. Mayor Chad Bashinsky in studio, Mayor Cynthia Block, Mayor of Saskatoon, joining us by phone today as we have our monthly check-in with the two mayors. Mayor Bashinsky, I want to come back to you. There was recently a request from council to city admin to put together a report to consider the possibility of a sanctioned tent encampment in the city. Without giving you my opinion on that, which I've been giving loudly on the radio, is this a serious consideration?
So, yeah, and just to, I guess, frame that, the context of that was there was originally a report that came forward to council around our overall encampment strategy. And then Council Flores put forward an amendment to include the ask for additional information, basically a jurisdictional scan to understand what's happening across the nation in terms of any municipalities that may be, you know, may have done this or considered this, and what information they can bring back to council to make, just to make sure we have a fulsome picture of what those, what that could look like in terms of, supplementing our encampment strategy. I can say, you know, anecdotally, I've heard from other, large municipalities and through some of my conversations and meetings, through FCM and the Big City Mayor's Caucus that, there have been challenges in those situations. And so, you know, obviously we will look to get that information collected and put into a report so council can consider that as a whole.
Have other, can I ask you a more pointed question? Have mayors of other cities given you direct advice on this topic?
Yeah, I that, and that's what I heard from the likes of you know, for example, Toronto, where you know, they've had feedback and have experienced firsthand some of the challenges going down that path. So I expect that we will be able to consolidate that information so council can hear that as a whole and our public can.
So I'm going to ask you this: have they told you not to do it?
They advised against it. The folks that have gone through that have advised against it.
If I was still chief of police, mayor, you would be, I would have been not phoning you. I would have been in front of your door on Victoria Avenue, because this, to me, it's a terrible idea. And there's all kinds of reasons why. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't try and help people that are needing a house and needing a home. There's no question that that's a whole separate issue. But the idea of taking responsibility of a homeless encampment, which can drive crime, and you don't need me to preach on it, but I'll tell you, it's for what it's worth, I'd say it's a bad idea.
Yeah. And that's what we need. We need the feedback from everybody so we can consolidate that. And then in public at council, make sure that we get that information properly to everybody at the same time. So absolutely.
Mayor Chad Baczynski, I have a text here from Don wondering about, well, basically what he's asking is how much money is left on the loan for Mosaic Stadium. And the reason he's expressing concern is he's worried about essentially him being able to afford in this the city. He's saying we're looking at a huge tax increase. Now there's this aquatic center. We haven't paid off this loan. So he's worried as a taxpayer and a pensioner who's on a fixed income, whether he'll be able to afford. What do you say to people like that? And if you have a sense of how much money is left on that Mosaic Stadium loan?
Yeah. So I mean, just to make sure we have the numbers out there, about $156 million is owing on the stadium as of December 31st, 2024. It was a 30-year term, so it would be paid out by 2044 for the stadium. And then absolutely. That's what we're seeing right now. And I want to take this chance to be very clear that the financial forecast that we see in this new process is not what we have approved for a tax increase. So I just want to be very clear that nothing has been approved yet. This is us pulling back the curtains and working through that together. And I absolutely understand that there are pressures put on when we make provisions for a new project. But you know what? Something like the Aquatic Center, you know, that was something that overwhelmingly was supported by the majority of residents because there's a need in the community for more space for swimming lessons, for aquatic activities, for indoor activities 365 days a year in a place where we are a winter city and need those types of venues for our community. So it's all about balance. We're trying to balance the needs of a growing community and the growing needs of those recreational facilities while still looking at the base services that we need to provide and trying to keep things affordable in the light of circumstances where, you know, we do see a challenging inflationary environment. And for Regina specifically, we've seen years of trying to keep mill rates low, and at some point it does catch up with us, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Mayor Chad Baczynski is joining me in studio. I have Mayor Cynthia Block on the line as well. Mayor Block, I'm going to come back to you. So there's a number of people on the text line. I've literally probably seen three or four texts here that are talking about the outstanding money that is owed to the city through parking tickets. And so the question is, will the city approach the provincial government to change the laws around car registration so that outstanding parking tickets can be attached to those plates? Essentially, it would be a way for, in the city of Saskatoon, to rake in about $6 million that up till now you're not bringing in. Will you consider that? Will you take that approach? Will you approach the province on that is the question.
Well, I think I need a little bit more information about how that process works, but I think that anything we can do to make sure that we're recovering the money that is owed would be a big help, especially in the times that we live in as we are wrestling with our budgets.
I think, you know, I'm just trying to translate here, but I think the ask is if I get into an accident and there's a surcharge on my license, then when I go to renew my plates or my license, I have to pay that in order to get it renewed. The ask is to approach the province to make a change that says if parking tickets aren't paid, it simply gets attached to the registration of your vehicle. So the next time you go to register your vehicle, the city can recoup that money.
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, that hasn't come directly to us as a question at committee or council, but I'm interested in looking into that. I mean, there's always, you know, the devil's in the details. It sounds like a really wonderful idea, and then you dig a little deeper, and then you find out why you can't do something. But I would say on the surface, absolutely, great idea.
Okay, Mayor Block, I'm going to stay with you. I've got a text from Leanne, and her text reads like this. I'm frustrated with our cities and our city leaders' obsession with this homelessness issue. I voted for Mayor Block, but I feel as though Mayor Block and City Council are focused on homelessness, and they're focused on it with disregard to other important issues that need to be focused on. So there's not really a question in the text, but what do you say to that? I know that was part of your platform, Mayor, to dig into this homelessness issue in the city. But I would say every time consistently that I have you on the program, there are a number of texts saying enough with this issue. Yes, it's important, but we got a lot of things we look at. What do you say to that?
Well, Leanne, I really appreciate the question. And residents from right across the city have told each of the members that were elected to city council that it is their number one issue, homelessness and community safety. And we are working urgently on those every day. But that doesn't mean a whole lot of other things aren't happening every day as well. We continue to push forward on parks renewal, on basic infrastructure. We will have a report coming out soon that shows that we are once again performing with record investments in our roadways, in our basic infrastructure, in sidewalks, in the things that people care about every single day. And that has been my record on council for the past 9 years, is to make sure that our basic infrastructure is sound. And actually just this week, we got a report from council from our administration that, you know, shows where our asset management is at, like our longer term view. And, you know, council will have some decisions to make at budget this year, but it's always going to be important to me that not only are we taking care of the day-to-day operations in the way that our residents expect, but that we are also playing the long game to make sure that we are maintaining our assets in a way that doesn't kick the can down the road, that, you know, somehow makes this our children's responsibility.
Mayor Cynthia Block, Mayor of Saskatoon, Mayor Chad Bashinsky, the Mayor of Regina. Mayor Bashinsky, there's a question for you. The texter his name's Dave. He's saying, I'm not sure if this was this current council or the previous council that made the decision on electric buses, but it appears that we have spent money that no longer is a plan going forward. We are going back to the traditional diesel buses, if I'm not mistaken. Has this project been a complete flop? And if so, what's the cost to taxpayers?
Yeah, so a lot. Yeah, I can absolutely answer that. So we did make a decision. There was a decision early on to complete the purchase of electric buses. At the time, we were getting money from the federal government that essentially made the cost of electric buses or diesel buses equal. And so we invested in those. We were able to secure those. They're on the road right now. I actually rode in one recently, and they're working great so far. So the what we bought so far is in place and working. The report that came in recently was to compare the two again. We have to look to purchase additional buses to keep up with the requirement for transit in our community. And the recommendation from administration was around purchasing diesel buses instead this time, compared to electric, because we no longer have that money and the cost for the electric buses has significantly gone up, about double. And so now we're weighing there's a number of factors there. Yes, there's an emissions component to that, but we also have to recognize that we have to provide the services to our residents. And so if we can buy twice as many buses to move twice as many people, essentially, we have to consider that. In addition, if that also removes a number of cars, maybe however many cars additionally from our roads, buying that many more buses, we have to compare those emissions reductions compared to half as many electric buses as well. So there's an analysis to be done in a wholesome way to make sure that we hit the mark with what we purchase. So it's not It's not that we're going to choose to do one or the other. It's going to be what makes sense at the time, given the funding available and the service we need to provide to our residents.
Okay, we're going to take another break. There's actually an EV-related question on the line here as well for you, Mayor Block, around the recent decision on essentially the city-operated charging stations. And there's a bit of text here, but ultimately the question is there an argument for the city of Saskatoon to stay out of this space altogether, much like gas stations, just leave it to private industry? So I'll get you to hang on to your answer for that, Mayor Block, and we will take our break and be back with your thoughts there and finish up our segment right after this break here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here as we finish up our segment with both mayors, Mayor Cynthia Block from Saskatoon, Mayor Chad Bieszynski from Regina. The texts have been great, and we've gotten to a number of texts today already. This is another text that came in from Dave. So, Mayor Block, the question is really around a recent decision that City Council made around charging rates at city-operated charging stations. You landed on $5.35 an hour. The texter says, my understanding is that this rate level was chosen as it gets the city as close as possible to break even though there will still be a bit of a cost burden to taxpayers. Is there an argument for the city to stay out of this space altogether? And Dave points out the city doesn't own gas stations, so should we not leave charging stations up to private industry? Your thoughts?
Dave, I think those are really good comments and questions. I have the same questions, and that is why there was a motion arising from that debate in chambers where I asked for our administration to look into this further and to work with the private sector to figure out if there are ways that we can work with them to make sure the service is provided, but not necessarily have the city involved. And the reason for that is because they are doing it right now at a cost that is far less. And while you can argue places like Midtown Plaza may do that for a certain reason, or hotels may do that for a certain reason because it's part of their business strategy overall. But for a municipality, when we decided to pilot this project, I supported it. Cities across North America were doing the exact same thing, where you're trying to introduce a new concept, and that is sort of the role of government at any level, where you are trying to help people learn a new thing and to see if it works. And I think that, you know, there's been sort of mixed results in terms of the cost benefit analysis on that, but there's no question that the city is trying to break even at a cost that is far higher than any place that I'm aware of that you can have that done in our city. And, you know, as somebody who is an EV user, I know what it costs me at home. Actually, maybe I don't, because it's just not very much. And so I just think that we have some work to do in terms of a longer term strategy. So thanks for the question.
Mayor Cynthia Block is my guest, along with Mayor Chad Bieszynski. Mayor Bieszynski, I'll ask you this question. So the texter, and I'm kind of deciphering through what's a long text here, but the texter is noting that the city has fallen behind on its net zero emissions objective, wanting to know why that is, how big of a concern is this, and then recently there was a proposal from a city councillor to move funds from the now defunct carbon tax program that would have been budgeted for into this energy and sustainability framework for 2026. So can you give thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had an update on our progress on those initiatives, and we are behind on what was originally set out in a framework approved by previous iteration of our council. You know, I would say that, you know, approving a framework is far different than funding a framework. And I think that's the biggest key there, is that it takes funding to do these things. And in a time when we're talking about the balance of affordability and, you know, trying to achieve some of these initiatives, those are the hard decisions that council has to make. And so that's the position we're in right now. It's concerning in the sense that we have these initiatives and actions that we are trying to undertake. But we're constantly having to reevaluate and look at our current circumstances. You know, we have a brand new Liberal government that has changed the dynamics of funding available So we need to look at that. We need to understand how that impacts these actions and initiatives that we have, and how we can action them moving forward. Or do we need to change the way that we approach this? And just to the point of some of the motion that was coming forward, or that came forward yesterday, there was even tweaks in that. There's an amendment in terms of looking at the carbon tax, because we know now that some of the revenue that we were getting from, you know, our crowns, for example, Sask Energy, Sask Power, that's diminished because of some of the removal of the, partly due to the removal of the carbon tax. So the dynamics have changed, and we need to understand what that looks like, and probably look at how we can achieve some of these goals, maybe in a different way, understanding what some of the funding looks like.
Well, this is perhaps one of the fastest hours in radio, because there's so many different topics. We always, sadly, leave a bunch of topics on the table, but try our best to get to as many as we can. Mayor Cynthia Block, Saskatoon's mayor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and Mayor Bashinsky, thank you as well. We will do it again, of course, next month. We will hone in on what the announcement was from Prime Minister Mark Carney. What will be the first five major projects that they will tackle? That conversation coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.